gentlemen, welcome to the Extraordinary Family Life Podcast. We're your hosts, Greg and Rachel Denning, in our home in Portugal that was flooded yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was insane.
Big storm.
So the weather here is almost always
300
sunny.
Days of sun.
Yeah, it's just beautiful and calm and sunny. It's so nice and so temperate.
Yesterday.
And wowzers, it was, because we flew, well, a few of us flew in from France, and I think that was the roughest landing I've ever had. It was the very first time I clapped at a landing. Have you guys been on flights where the people clap? I remember the first time
that
happened
to us,
and I was like, why are they clapping? I've never clapped on a flight. We've been on hundreds of flights. I've never clapped. I clapped yesterday. I told my kids, I was like, that one is worth clapping for, because the plane was all over the place. I mean, It was the wind was throwing us side to side, right? So the wings were dipping. And I'm like, he better level us out before we hit. And I look over and we're almost on the ground.
Whoa.
I'm like, we're going to have a wingtip touchdown before the wheels do. This is a doozy. And he landed. So I was like, yes, sir. Nicely done. It was wild. Then the rains
pouring,
came,
pouring.
Flooded into our house here. And so we were standing outside.
Sweep a river
in
away.
My we underwear, freezing. Yeah. I tore off my clothes and ran outside and tried, because it was coming in through the house and we're trying to shovel it away. It was wild, fun
sweep
adventure.
It away. We were sweep trying to away. Sweep it away.
it was madness, but we're glad to be back. I wanted to give a quick update about our trip to France. It was quite literally a bucket list weekend. For my entire adult life, I have wanted to go to Chamonix and Mont Blanc and do a Via Ferrata. And so we took the weekend because Kimball and Aaliyah and I are training for Mount Kilimanjaro.
16 and 18.
And so we booked a little weekend trip. This is the thing we were celebrating. This is why we live in Europe. One of the biggest reasons we moved to Europe, because we're like, okay, we can, in a couple hours, super cheap flights around Europe, in a couple hours. We woke up Thursday morning, and Thursday morning, still, it wasn't even lunchtime. Thursday morning, we were in Geneva, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids and I were like driving into France, like,
we love France.
Yes, we love France. Oh, so it was so good to
We'd
be back.
We prefer to live in France, honestly.
We stopped at the bakeries and the cheeseries and the meateries and the
patisseries.
Oh man, it was just glorious. Even
I lived
the grocery stores.
For you, I stayed here, but
yeah, we went to the grocery store and we're just like, oh, we're back in France. This is amazing, and the views everywhere you go. So anyways, we checked it off, and it was our first day. It was beautiful. The sun was shining. We were just sweating like crazy, expecting it to be cold. And you know, it was cold, but we were really sweating. So then the next day we go out kind of expecting a similar experience, but we went way, 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 way higher, and we got snowed on. But we got rained on first, so we were completely drenched. And then it froze. And it was snowing and sleeting and blowing in our eyes. We were literally the only humans on the mountains. We saw some mountain goats, which was rad. We were the only humans on that mountain that I could see anywhere. And it was miserable and hard. And we were exhausted and in pain. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just exactly how we want it. And the kids just, they did so well. They're so tough.
They
just,
tough.
not a single word of complaint. Not a syllable.
Mm-hmm.
They just were smiling, pleasant, just grinding. And I could tell they were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I was hurting. I was like, well, this is fantastic. Exactly how I want to be. And got some good training
especially
in.
Training for Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah, especially for Kilimanjaro, right? And they just kept saying, I think Kilimanjaro is going to be easier than that day. And it's probably the case. That was my goal.
Right.
Like, let's grind so hard and gain so much elevation in literally the worst conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, when you're out in the outdoors, really cold rain and wind, those are the worst conditions. I'll hike in snow all day long, but cold rain blowing in your face, oh man, that's tough. And we covered a lot of ground, lots of miles and lots of elevation gain. It was perfect. And then the following day, we went and did a really scary really challenging Via Ferrata. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that it's like in Europe, they'll go in these insane canyons or cliffs, and they put little steps and little handles, little metal steps and little metal handles.
So you clip in. On the side of the cliff.
Yeah. And so, and this particular one was in a wet canyon. And I mean, you're over this waterfall and the wind's blowing, and it was crazy.
So you're basically just hanging on the side of a cliff.
Yeah. And you have these little metal bars and these little metal foot pegs for your feet and hands. And then the craziness, you just got to go for it. And it was overhung. And I mean, it was challenging and scary, of course, because you're just on these little metal rods. But it was awesome. And both my kids, so my daughter's 16, and she's done some tough stuff. I mean, we've been skydiving, bungee jumping. We've done some rad stuff. She's like, that's the scariest I've ever been. And Kimball was great. It was awesome, Rach. You would have been so proud. They've learned. We've trained them how to just kind of flip the switch. They get into serious mode, like, let's go, let's get this done. They both just, I mean, you look at them and you're like, man, they are just handling this. And then afterwards they're like, I was so scared. But they stayed so calm, so clear, so focused. They moved their carabiners exactly like they're supposed to do it. They're very careful, methodical. It was awesome. It was just a beautiful demonstration of the training being put to action.
Right.
And afterwards she said, that's the scariest I've been. And Kimball afterwards, he's like, yeah, I've been that scared in quite a while. That was nice. It was awesome. And then she cut out after the first section, and then he and I did the second section, and the last third of it was an overhang. I mean, you were in it, and you're holding on, right? And your arms, your forearms, your hands just getting exhausted. It was awesome. It was fantastic. So we literally a bucket list weekend. It's so fun. And so I was thinking, man, in a major way, our children's childhood life experience in part is you and I pursuing our dreams.
And literally our bucket list, yeah, pretty much.
So our bucket list,
that's how we plan trips and adventures,
is their life experience.
Right.
And I want to make sure we're understood here, not misunderstood. Our kids love it. I mean, they crazy love it. So things that you and I said, okay, we're going to chase our dreams. And the first time we experience things in our 20s and our 30s and now in our 40s, they're experiencing it as toddlers and then tweens and teenagers now. They get experience all these unbelievable things as we chase our dreams and take our family with us. And so it's not a selfish pursuit because we're taking our family along. Like it's like chase your dreams, bring the kids. Right. And it's not like the kids are an afterthought. Like the dreams we're chasing include our children and are a major, major part of their development.
Well, I mean, even along that line, that's one of the reasons you haven't done a Via Ferrata before, is because we didn't have the family. Well, the kids weren't old enough to be able to do that. That's why. That's primarily why. So essentially, we did the things when they were younger that they were able to do with us.
Exactly.
And we put off these other things because they weren't able to do them. So it is
like,
I mean,
anxiously
for you,
awaiting for,
yeah,
me. I'm,
I know,
like,
especially,
come
for
on,
you.
Get bigger.
Exactly. It's been, you know, a long time coming for some of these bigger adventures because they weren't old enough to participate. And I consciously remember that we did this on purpose. We would be like, oh, well, no, I guess we're not going to go there and do that thing because
the kids can't do it.
You were specifically, you would be the only one who could do it because I'm carrying the baby or I'm nursing or I'm pregnant. And so we only did the things that we could all do together.
And that would be for their benefit and growth, and that would expand them through exposure and experience. Exactly. And then some of the things like, you know, Kilimanjaro and other big things we've done, I knew not only did they have to be older, but they had to be seriously prepared. And so it's been strategic and deliberate training and preparation for years to get to where we can just say, hey, let's head out for the weekend and go do something very challenging.
Yeah.
In fact, there was big warnings in the canyon. Like, don't even attempt this unless you're in fantastic shape.
Right.
And
otherwise you're in
And
trouble.
I looked at both of them like, we got this. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it's just, It's so fun. It's so fun to live life that way. So for today's episode, it's going to be a little different. We're just going to kind of share some things that are just on our minds and things that you're observing. So when you get out and you're reading a lot of books, especially about history and things that have happened, and you're out traveling the world, meeting with lots of people, and connecting with people in a lot of different industries and spheres. So Rachel and I, we get to coach people from all kinds of industries and all kinds of backgrounds. And
we're listening to a lot of podcasts about current events and different world topics.
From this weekend, this is really relevant. We went into this grocery store, ended up having this cool connection with the cashier who was from Cameroon. And we talked about that. And it was just really fun and fascinating to connect with him. And we're in France, and this guy's from Cameroon. Then we picked up a hitchhiker, which
I don't recommend.
I don't recommend you pick up hitchhikers.
But we do on occasion.
This kid was standing in the rain. He looked safe, right? Now, that's not always the case, but he looked safe. And it was me and Kimball and Aaliyah. And like the worst thing any idiot could do is try to pick a fight with the three of us. Like you're going to get wrecked in a tin can and just get dumped. So I was totally confident. And Kimball was sitting up front and Lee was sitting back. So I'm like, I'm putting this guy next to my daughter. But I was like, oh, she would wreck any idiot. So anyways, the kid was awesome. Genuinely great human being. It was so fun. He's from Tunisia. And he came to Italy and then to France because he's working. He's saving up to one day go back and live a better life in Tunisia. And he can earn more than double in France what he was earning there. And so he came up and he learned Italian. Now he's learning French. And he's just a hardworking kid. And mm-hmm. we had this fun, really enjoyable conversation. He's connecting this kid and learning about his life. I mean, that just blows your reality when you hear other people's stories up close.
Mm-hmm. Well, we picked up some hitchhikers while we were in Turkey.
The Russian ones.
That were from Russia.
Yeah, that was so insightful.
Which was very insightful to me because, you know, obviously the Ukraine-Russia war is going on. And this was a few months ago, so it was even more relevant and recent. Yep. And it was just very insightful to listen to their perspective. And I know we specifically asked them, like, oh, well, is it safe? Like for Americans specifically to travel there, and they're like, oh yeah, it's totally safe still. You could still go there. Most of the Russian people are just living their normal lives. And so it's, to me, that's how you actually get a pulse on the world, is by talking to real people. Now, granted, people all have differing opinions right. and viewpoints and definitions of what safe is,
and their own experiences, right?
And so you have to take all of that into consideration. But I think that our advantage has always been, because of the unique life we live and all the different people we get to meet, it gives you a pulse on the world, on the real world, from real people, not from the media, not from the news, not from world leaders who have their own agendas and have their own objectives and the certain narrative they want to share. And so, well, I mean, that's leading into some of the things we want to talk about today.
Yeah. But well, I don't know if I even told you this. I'm on a men's volleyball team here in Portugal, and one of my teammates is from Ukraine and came over when the war started.
And we met tons of Ukrainian refugees while we were traveling.
Their personal stories. It was,
wow,
it was incredible. So anyways, as we're having all these experiences, so in France, and we met a family from Mexico that moved to Geneva, and they're, so we're getting this whole mix and having all these conversations and meeting with people who are just struggling to survive, and then people who are unbelievably wealthy, and some who have no education, some are extremely educated, just all across the board. And so we're reading all these books, we're listening to these things, we're coaching people, we're traveling and meeting people, we're seeing firsthand. We've been, you know, in the last 12 months, we've been in 18 countries-ish, something like that.
18 or 19.
And so you get a perspective. And the way we travel, we're not just like tourists. We, we go in and we're there and we're talking.
I mean, we are, but
yeah, we are. But we're experiencing it like travelers. And we're very curious people. And we've learned over decades just working with people, just we can read a lot. We can read into a scene, into a person even. So we're perceiving a lot of things.
I think you can even read the culture based off of little signs like billboards or signs or, you know, just things that happen. And so we're constantly analyzing that. You know, we did a whole podcast episode about after having been out of the United States for 9 months, coming back and just the billboards and the TV and all the things that are picking up, it gives you these huge clues about the culture and what they believe and what they're promoting or, you know, propagating the propaganda.
It's okay. And that's a perfect lead in because that's where we want to go today. One of the things that's on our minds is we're noticing this global propaganda that's going on, first of all, and it's at a big global level, which this has got to be probably, I would say, the first time in history that it's actually been possible.
Oh, absolutely.
Where you have the internet like it is, and not just internet like it was 10 years ago, like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these huge global organizations that, in this weird way, they want total power. And so some of them aren't even governments. They're organizations that are beginning to act like totalitarian states.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is crazy bizarre. And it's so fascinating to watch.
And it sounds conspiracy theorist. And yet, this is the fascinating thing to me, because listening to a wide range of podcasts, reading a wide range of books.
From very liberal to very conservative.
Right. Exactly. The whole spectrum. You know, there's this sense that, no, it's real.
Yeah.
It's not conspiracy theory.
It's conspiracy.
And in fact, if you don't believe in conspiracy, there's something wrong with you, because there are conspiracies happening all of the time around the world.
Always has been. Like, that'd be the,
and there always has
the
been.
Crazy. If you don't believe in conspiracies, then I give you the challenge of finding any time in the history of the world where there hasn't been active conspiracies happening.
Right.
Like, it is legit. It's just part of the human story.
And I know that this has been part of my mindset shift. Was previously I thought, oh no, those things can't be real. The world is a good place.
Not in our day.
Not yeah.
Before,
well, that
too. When people were ignorant,
right.
Those things
exactly
happened.
Right. And now I realize, well, no, that's just part of human nature and part of power grabbing and you know, dominance hierarchies and power struggles and all. Like, it's been the history of the world. People conspiring to gain and maintain and keep power.
We would be,
that's how it works.
Utterly naive to think that it wouldn't happen in our time, in our country, in our state, in our lives.
Right.
It's utterly naive.
And I think the reality is it's actually happening more and more nowadays.
And I think it lines up. You guys have heard us talk about the fourth turning. And this lines up very, very well with fourth turnings.
Oh, absolutely.
That there's, you know, the climate has been so comfortable and so convenient,
not,
so nice.
Not like
life,
weather,
not climate. The weather climate, but like the social climate has been just, it's set up. It's just ripe for people to do power grabs. And because we've become so interconnected globally, that these countries that are connected, like you might say Western civilization countries, and I'm sure it's happening in Eastern and Middle Eastern, you know, they're all kind of interconnected, and we have little interactions culturally across the board, but there's still some pretty big variants. But then there's these organizations that kind of are operating in between those things, and businesses, I'd say too, and then governments,
mm-hmm.
and then governments that kind of get together,
even.
And individuals, yeah, with so much power that you see them making decisions, and it's fascinating to watch, because you'll see some rise up and say, hey, whoa, 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 don't you dare do that. That's bizarre. Like, we're going to fight for freedom here. And you'll see individuals and countries and nations and businesses do that. They'll stand up and fight for freedom. But then there's other ones that they want some kind of global control.
Right.
Or this idea of, like, you know, the best thing for the planet is to do this. And and then
even
settle.
Though it might lead to the destruction or deaths of millions of people,
they're
that
okay
doesn't
with
matter
it because
we'll be saving the earth.
Right, exactly. We have to do this for the future. We have to do this for the planet. So if
it's okay,
you know,
to
if
kill
a billion
people
need to die over time, then so be it. And it's hard for you and me to think, nah, there can't be anyone who actually thinks that. But it's true.
Right.
And it's real. And then there's others who want to control. They want total control.
Well, and the
and
reason,
it might even be for a, quote, noble ideal or
well,
something.
Right. Or even people, I know there's even people who are aware of fourth turnings and want to contribute to that happening where, you know, there's supposed to be a reset of society. And so they want to force the reset in order to, whatever, bring in their utopia. And
so they're participating in the collapse of society.
Intentionally, right? Yeah. And, you know, even if you are listening to this and think, wow, you guys have really gone off your rocker here. You're crazy. There's books out there. There's one called The Great Reset by Klaus Schwab, who's head of the World Economic Forum. This is real stuff. We're not making this up out of the crazy imagination, our crazy imagination. Like, this is real. It's happening. And if you watch what's going on in Canada, like, Canada is literally...
It's in trouble. Yeah, there's some
trouble.
Totalitarian stuff going on. But one we heard of just recently, we're learning about, is something that WHO is doing.
Right.
They're trying to do a big power
grab. World Health
grab.
Organization.
And that one's interesting because it's not a government.
Right.
It's this organization that's trying to move
to have power.
Intended, you know, best, well, like.
Best intentions.
Yeah, the best intentions on the front. But you're like, whoa, you have to see behind the scenes and be like, well, that's crazy. It's a totalitarian.
Well, it would essentially, what they're proposing would essentially give them global power over governments. And like, I was listening to a podcast about it. It would essentially give them power over even the Constitution to institute things, you know, actions, best practices. Think of, you know, COVID.
Mandatory
things
behavior.
That you have
oh
to require to. They were specifically talking about medical products, that they have the right to insist that you take medical products or, you know, use medical products, however they define what that is, you know, depending on the situation, for the good of the public safety, public health safety. So, I mean, this is...
Now, on the surface, you might think, well, yeah.
Oh, that's a good...
We want people to be healthy. And there's some of those developing countries that they just won't listen, so they ought to be forced. Or there's some radicals in the U.S. that ought to be forced to comply. But what you're talking about is a totalitarian dictatorship.
Exactly.
That, and I love that you said that you mentioned it would have power even over our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Part of freedom that people don't like is that people have the freedom to make bad choices.
Right.
But if you remove that, you've just removed your own freedom.
Exactly. So essentially, you're removing, we are losing individual sovereignty. We don't have the power to any longer say, no, I don't want to do that, or I don't participate in this, or I choose not to be vaccinated, or whatever. Like, we don't have that power. And that's just not right. Because when you examine and think about where that actually leads, well, that leads to the gulag. That leads to Nazi Germany. Like, that's what it leads to, people. That is what it leads to. Study history and you will see.
Yep.
What, there was a great quote we just heard recently. Like, the people who are censoring and controlling, they're never the good guys on the side on the side of history, right? They're always end up being the bad guys.
And yeah, that's always been the case. Well, and here's something that's interesting. I was writing the other day, I was doing writing, and I had no intention of even bringing this up, but it just occurred to me now as you're saying this. One observation I've had in a lot of the books I've read recently about history is that the people who are the rule keepers, like, that, you know who they are, and you know who you are if you're
there's
one of
them. There's some in our church.
Yeah. Well, there's some in every church,
and
there's some in every organization, every school.
Major organization.
It's just part of, I don't know, there's part of people, they're like, they like feel this insane drive to keep the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that, it's one of those strengths that has an inherent weakness. Part of that strength is it keeps society functioning.
Right.
We have to keep rules. Like, if nobody wanted to obey road rules, for example,
mm-hmm.
none of us could go out and drive. It just wouldn't work. if we didn't have
some be worse kind of than driving in Egypt
rules that it works actually, which is awesome. Well, anyways, that's a different topic.
Well, no, what I was thinking though actually is because while driving in Egypt is insane and it seems like from a Westerner's perspective there's no rules, but really there are rules going on. It's just a very different,
it works better,
organic type of.
And there's actually more freedom on the road. It's really, anyways, that's a different topic. That was powerful and cool experience. But as I've been reading these and studying these, I realize it's the rule keepers who keep society kind of functioning, that when a dictator comes in, when a tyrant comes in, when a totalitarian state comes in, the rule keepers become that person's primary weapons.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who are keeping the rules, who insist on everyone else around them keeping the rules,
right,
who just have this intense drive to just do what you're told to do. Those people become the most dangerous people in society,
mm-hmm,
and they become the weapons of dictators and tyrants.
Right.
And that's a scary thought, because those are generally good people and they're keeping rules.
Oh, right.
But then a dictator state comes in or an organization comes in and says, no, everyone on this planet must take this medication, must follow this thing, whether it's backed up or correct or not or whatever. They start forcing that, and then they use all the rule keepers in society to help enforce,
right,
social enforcement.
Which, I mean, you know, to bring up, to state the obvious, we already saw this happen during COVID.
Yeah. It was just and the now, sampling of here, what could happen.
Oh, absolutely. And now here we are, you know, a couple years later, and on the CDC website, it clearly states that there is no benefit to having the vaccine versus not having the vaccine, you know, and that masks were not effective in preventing the disease. And yet, if you dared to say any of those things during that time, the rule keepers
you
know, like the crab pulling you back in the bucket.
It was very
so
bad.
We already saw that happening.
So we're bringing all this stuff up at the risk of sounding again like conspiracy theorists. And we want to take this approach from a very historical, very calm, very thoughtful, very logical approach of like, just study history, just study sociology, just study psychology.
Right.
You're gonna read these things, and you're like, and then look for similarities in our day, and you're like, oh, there it is right there.
Well,
wow.
Or you know, read something like The Psychology of Totalitarianism, and you're like, oh yeah, here it is. This is how totalitarianism works.
Yep.
Well, and the other fascinating thing to me as well, mentioning the fact that we listen to and read from a lot of different sources and, you know, try to keep an open mind to different perspectives. But what is super interesting to me is that there's this growing awareness of people talking about this, saying, yeah, these conspiracies are going on.
Yep.
It's no longer like the weirdos just talking about these things. Right. These are very educated, very articulate, very rational people saying, yeah.
And interestingly,
these conspiracies are going on.
And not surprisingly, those voices are now being controlled and stifled,
threatened,
even by governments. There was a recent law in the UK.
Right. That's a perfect example. Like the recent law in the UK, which I think, I don't know if it's Europe-wide or they're trying to make it Europe-wide, because I know that there was that school in France that's supportive of it, but essentially they're introducing this bill to protect, you know, it's all in this good, all for a good cause. We want to protect
the
people
from
misinformation, from hate speech, from bullying, all these things. So it sounds like a good thing, but if you look at what that actually means, it's essentially limiting free speech. You're not allowed to say these things, whatever it is, if somebody else deems it misinformation. And when you have a society like that, you're actually in trouble.
Big trouble. The only thing that keeps a society truly, truly safe and free is the ability to speak out against the narrative.
Right. And to be able to question it.
Otherwise,
it's
all propaganda and it's all a very controlled narrative. And if you can't question it and intelligently speak out against it, to have the opposing view, then you lose balance and you lose control of freedom.
Right. And of course, the danger, the reason people don't like that is because if you allow free speech, well, it naturally allows for all of the
crazy ideas,
crazy idiosyncratic ideas, you know, that people have.
Idiosyncratic
exactly,
ideas.
Exactly, that too. And people don't like that. It allows for hate speech and bullying because there are hateful and ignorant people in the world who are going to use their free speech in that way. But we have to understand that that's why it's so dangerous, because in order to protect ourselves from those things, we are limiting our own freedom. I don't know why I think of this, maybe because I just think it was portrayed in such a great way, because there's this movie, I think it's called Assassin's Creed, and it's a pretty violent movie, so be aware if you want to watch it. But I loved so much how they portrayed the idea that the most important idea in the world was that of free speech, free will. And that the entire movie was that they would do anything necessary
to protect that.
To protect free will. And the same idea with free speech. It's that important and it's that powerful that we have to allow the bad things, the hate speech, the negative things. We have to allow those to occur so that we have the power and ability to speak freely. Because until we can speak freely, until we can disagree with each other and say, you know, I believe that you're spreading misinformation, but let's talk about it rather than I'm going to cancel you, I'm going to shut you down, I'm not going to allow you to speak or have a platform. That's not the way to have a conversation or a debate or to actually find truth. You can't find truth that way. In fact, you just limit the ability to understand truth when you shut down opposing viewpoints.
Yep. So the only way to actually have a truth-based
society,
based society, or a society with truth being taught, it won't all be truth, right? Because even if you tried to dictate or mandate all truth,
yeah,
that's impossible.
It's like 1984.
Exactly. The, you know, so in order to have a society where truth is available, you have to tolerate misinformation.
Right.
You have to tolerate people just blabbing on and idiot ideas. The minute somebody or something starts to control that and limit it, you're literally walking like sheep to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
As they, whoever they is, whoever gets to decide what is true or not. Like, that's mm-hmm. insane and it's so dangerous. And the reason we're talking about it today is because across all these experiences we're having, across all these countries with all these different people, we're seeing this global size deception occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's subtle. Some of it's conniving. And now, interestingly to me, so intriguing, some of it is blatantly open.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, there certain people or organizations are stepping up and saying, we're doing this. And I'm like, that is right out of the playbook of communism or Marxism. Like, that is insane. Are people that ignorant? Like, this is a line from Nazi Germany.
Right.
And they exactly. just, like, gave it at some world organization. That you're like, are you kidding me? Did people not hear that? Like, what is going on?
Right.
But we're far enough removed. So the people who lived and experienced World War II are all dead. So we don't have our grandparents or great-grandparents there with us saying, did you just hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I heard that in my childhood. Don't believe it. Like, that, they're gone. And so those things start happening again. And a generation that's not in touch with it is like, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
we should do that.
Great. Right. And unfortunately, and, you know, I include myself in this, most people are so undereducated that they're not aware. And so they hear things or they, you know, come across ideas that on the surface sound like, oh yeah, that's a nice idea. Like diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, that's the buzzword and phrase now. And that sounds like a good thing.
Yep.
But when you dig into what that actually looks like and what it actually means and how the context in history You're like, huh, these are actually dangerous things. Yep.
Extremely dangerous. But you're right. First level thinking, it looks wonderful. Tolerance, compassion, inclusion, all of that.
Right.
At first level, you're like, yeah, that's great. But all of those virtues quickly become vices if they're not kept within healthy boundaries.
Well, and if not a vice per se, they certainly become a doorway to that opens to allow worse things to occur. I just read a headline recently. I didn't read the article, but I was intrigued. And it said, why Christians need to be more intolerant and less charitable or something, you know? But it's basically this idea that, and this is one of the things that's occurred in society over the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, is because, let's just use the words left and right for now, because right-leaning people tend to be, they try to focus on kindness and compassion and inclusion. You know, they try to be nice, right? They've allowed these ideas to persist and to be pushed forward that are ultimately now becoming detrimental to the foundations of society because they weren't willing to stand up and say, ah, no, wait a second. That's a line right there. And when they have done it, they've been attacked or, you know, they've gotten huge pushback. They've been canceled. They've been all of these things. And so they just think, oh, well, I'm not going to for one thing, or I'm going to be nice and I'm going to be open. I'm going to be understanding and I'm going to. And while that's important, like those things are important. But as you always say, for every strength, there's an inherent weakness. And at some point, too much compassion is a vice. It's not a good thing. Too much tolerance is not a good thing. Too much acceptance is not a good thing. It can go too far to the point where it now becomes destructive. It literally is destroying the fabric of society because we've become so accepting and tolerant and what other word did I use? I forgot.
I don't know.
I don't know. But we've become these things and it's now underpinning all of the foundations of society.
Right. And so then what happens is kind people. People want to be good and they want to be tolerant. They want to be loving and accepting and nice. They start backpedaling mm-hmm. and apologizing and backing away and taking something. It's really trying to be oversimplified and made super black and white. It's either this or that.
Right.
And you stop and say, well, it's never that simple.
Exactly.
It's never, ever that just plain black and white. Racism is never just that simple. Right. You think it is. You think, oh, it's just racism. No, there's so much complexity there.
And well, ultimately.
Religion and stuff, any kind of prejudice, like there's a lot more depth there. There's a lot more history and complexity than just what we're being presented on the surface.
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly the case right now with Israel and Palestine. You know, it's like, you've got to pick a side. Which one? When the reality is, you can't pick a side. It's the entire situation is so complex that it's not black and white. It's not one or the other. And the solution is not one or the other. It's something that's going to be way more complicated than we can currently even imagine. Yeah.
And it's way beyond just Jews and Muslims.
Exactly.
And it's actually, and interestingly, this one goes quite a bit beyond just Israel and Palestine. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more at play. And then while that's happening and has the news and people's attention, other things.
Like are, the WHO.
Yeah, they're trying to sneak exactly. in other things.
Which could be even more significantly detrimental to society as a whole, especially on a global level, than what's happening in Israel and Palestine right now. And yet, it's so boring. Nobody's going to notice or talk about it. Well, and the other thing, another good example of this too, is I had mentioned the author of Eat, Pray, Love, which I read years ago. She's written lots of books, but I just read this recently. She had written another book and it was supposed to be released soon. And the title was something like, she canceled herself because she pulled it from publication because she had received kickback or something from people complaining that the book that she wrote about took place in Russia and had
and
a Russian...
gave it a good light.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even that. She it explained that the book, it didn't put the Russian government in a good light. It put a, cast a negative light on them, but it was a Russian person living in Russia. And people are like, how could you write about that when people in Ukraine are suffering?
Yep.
And so it's this very black and white view of the world, like, Ukrainians are good, Russians are bad, so how dare you write a book about Russia? And the problem is, she cowed
right.
to that.
Right.
She was the one that then said, oh, you're right, I'm so sorry. How dare I write a book like that?
Here's a perfect example that happened to us. So we went to Turkey, and we were in Turkey for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed in 4 different places and had an absolutely wonderful experience with the place and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was amazing.
Yeah, there wasn't any negative thing that happened.
No, we went over to the GNC. We were in the is it the Caribbean down there?
What?
No, not Caribbean. That's way over there. The Mediterranean, sorry.
Yes, we're on the
so we were in the Aegean, the Mediterranean, and then we're up in the mountains, and we're in Istanbul. Which is over by right. the other sea, the Black Sea.
Yeah,
up there? Anyways,
the Black Sea.
So we kind of a little bit of experience, and we drove a lot and covered quite a bit of ground. Just had a wonderful experience. So we get on and we share.
Well, months later, even.
Yeah, it's months later. We share our positive experience. Nothing wrong with that. We go have a great experience, and again, we weren't going as just like little tourists. You go in for a weekend, do the touristy things and fly out and say it was great. We were there, not even
shopping
staying
at the grocery store,
not even in touristy locations. We were in with the people where there was no other tourists.
Tourist locations for other Turkish people.
Right. And there was lots of places where like we didn't see other foreigners. We were in having the experience with the people. And again, the way we travel, the way we interact, we're interacting with everybody. I had that amazing experience that day. This little lady steps out of her door, waves us down. I'm driving past. She waves down. I'm like, oh, maybe she needs help. And she just wanted a ride up the road. So she hops in and like no English or anything. And I just give her a ride like way past our house. I just give her a ride way up in the hills. And she's like, oh, thank you. And then drops it.
Yeah.
And I drive back. It was so awesome. But we have all these great experiences. So we post about it. We're like, wow, we had a great experience. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we weren't aware, but we get attacked.
Somehow we got into the algorithm.
And they were like, how dare you say that Turkey is a good place? How dare you put Turkish people in a good light? How dare you? They're evil. They're rotten. They're terrible. Shame on you. And that's what it was. It was shame on you for
you should
saying
know
you
better.
Had a good experience.
You should, yeah, you shouldn't be promoting this country because, well, there's problems going on with Turkey against their Armenian people. And, of course, anciently, Turkey took Greece from the Greeks. And, you know, like, all of these things. And I'm like, well, that's the history of the world.
Of
like, you
every
couldn't
country.
Promote any country. You can't travel anywhere. Definitely don't go to the United States because, you know, they have a dark history. And so it's kind of this idea of, and I get
well, and
it.
And bad things are happening.
I'm not discounting that. I'm not saying Turkey's perfect either. I'm sure they have problems. I'm sure they have done horrible things and are doing horrible things in certain areas. Like, I'm not discounting that that's going on.
And that's the point. It's so much bigger than Turkey's good, Turkey's bad.
Right.
Turkish people are like this or Turkish people are like that. Because there's millions and hundreds of millions of people
right.
from all different backgrounds. And as I wholeheartedly believe, the vast majority of people on this planet are good people. And they're just living their lives like good people. They have their families, they're doing life, and most of them would be kind and helpful to you, to anyone. And so it would be wrong for us. Okay, first, it would be ignorant of us to say, no bad things happen in Turkey. We didn't have a bad experience, so nothing bad ever happens there. That would be ignorant and naive.
Right.
But it would also be wrong of us, and this is the point I want to make. It would be wrong of us to pull down our posts about Turkey.
And
to
apologize.
Say, apologize, I'm so sorry, and start like backpedaling and saying, you're right, you know, our experience in Turkey, it wasn't good. We must have missed something. Maybe we were wrong and naive, and we actually had a bad experience, but we didn't know. Like, that starts sounding like crap out of like 1984
right.
and Fahrenheit
like
451 and the controlled speech. You're like, oh, wait a minute. No, we were wrong. Like an Animal Farm, like, You're right. We did have a bad experience because those Turkish people, they're bad. We're so sorry that we had a good experience, or we were deceived into having a good
Exactly,
experience.
right.
That would be so wrong of us to do that. We can st There's still parts of Russia and Russian people that are amazing.
We're tentatively planning a trip to Russia
And
next year.
it ought to be celebrated. And there's wonderful, wonderful Chinese people and beautiful parts of China, even though there's some crazy communism over there.
Right,
And
and
Putin is doing some crazy stuff, right?
no, agreed. And even while saying that, I do understand on another level, like, you know, there's layers, there's maps of meaning. On a higher level, I get it that there are different worldviews and different viewpoints that, if you carry those out, can be dangerous. And yeah, that's communism. That's one of those worldviews that are dangerous. But we also have to learn how to separate that from average regular people too, who may believe in communism and may, you know, they go along living their communist life. That's still very different than the people who are actually in power pushing forward communist ideas and beliefs and you know, doctrines. There's layers there that we have to learn to differentiate. That's kind of the point. Like, yeah, I get it. Some worldviews are quote unquote better than others. They're safer, they're better for humanity, they're more progressive and inclusive and in the best kind of ways, not the dangerous ways. That is true. I do believe that. Some ideas, when you carry them out, they lead to dangerous and dark ends, you know, they lead to nihilism or they lead to totalitarianism. And so ultimately, if you get right down to that, yeah, I get it. Some of those worldviews are dangerous, essentially. But what we have to understand, and I think that this is one of the advantages to the, I, you know, like I heard someone else use it, although it's not the best term necessarily, but the views of the West, meaning the views of all human beings have individual worth and they, you know, they're created equally. Where that leads is to the individual personal interactions where we treat another human being with respect and love and kindness, regardless of their race, regardless of their religion, regardless of the color of their skin, or even their sexual preference. Like, we treat human beings with respect because every human being has individual worth. And that's different than the government that you happen to live under, or the religion you happen to have been born into. That's a whole nother level.
And even while saying that, because you're right and it sounds so good, that also has to have boundaries. Like,
Yes.
we will love you, we respect you, but we will not, we have boundaries. We won't allow you, in the name of tolerance or acceptance, we won't allow you to cross any boundaries of freedom or taking, you know, or doing wrong or harm to other people. Right? So even that goodness, those good traits have to come with boundaries and limitations. And
Right, because you have to be, you can respect someone, but you're not going to allow them to
like, oh,
harm you
I
or harm
feel
your
so
children.
bad for you because your life's been so hard. Like, yeah, here, take my stuff.
Well,
I'm gonna tolerate theft because you've had a hard
okay,
life.
even
No.
worse, I as I've also read recently in my news sources, which is not the main media news, there's been a lot of murders lately. So people
Well,
who,
and
quote unquote, are on the
crazy
left,
violence.
right? People who are on the left, who are activists for, let's say, Black Lives Matter, which I just heard someone say is actually an extremely racist organization.
Well, it inherently is, because it's saying Black Lives Matter.
Right.
It's separating, it's perpetuating racism.
Exactly. And they were also in support of defunding the police, all of these different, and this has happened to at least three or four or five people separately. But same type of activists, right, that are supporting the same types of ideas. And they were all murdered by people who, in the name of acceptance and tolerance, they were interacting with in a way that, say, you and I, specifically you and me, would not have been interacting with them in that way because we would have these boundaries in place that said, no, I'm sorry, I don't care about your race, your religion, your sexual preference, your the color of your skin. If you behave in this way, I'm drawing a line. Now, these right. people
independent
didn't...
of your race, religion, yeah, background,
it's independent
anything.
Of that.
Like, there's certain behaviors that have boundaries.
Right. This is the one specific example I want to make. This woman, I think she was young, maybe like in her 20s, late 20s. She was the CEO of some company. I don't know where she lived, in a major city. And she was very vocal about white men and how horrible they were and that they're terrible, you know, all of this. And then she specifically, because of her, you know, she was a supporter of Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. She's a white woman. She invited this man in to her apartment, so let him into her secured building, brought him up to her apartment, and he killed her. And they didn't find her body for like 3 days. And then on the news, the main news, they didn't even report the fact that she had let him into the apartment. Like, they just mentioned she'd been killed in her apartment without ever saying how the guy got there. Now, again, this isn't a race issue. This is an issue of learning to see past color. If someone is a dangerous person, I don't care what color their skin is, you have to learn how to read that. You have to learn how to read the situation and not feel like you're judging someone right. because you think they're dangerous and you must be racist because they're black. No, you're dangerous because you're a dangerous person and you put off a dangerous vibe.
And so
that can be any color.
Where this gets in trouble, and this is not a new story or a new experience, is you sense danger or threat
mm-hmm.
and you think, I don't want to be racist.
Right.
And so then you allow serious, actual threats and harm to your life and your family, yourself, by trying to not be racist.
Exactly.
And that's where you get into
and
trouble.
This is
it's naive.
Where,
it's so
this
naive.
Is where society is headed, in that it is literally putting more people at danger because in the name of not being racist or sexist or homophobic or trans, whatever, like any of the titles you want to say, in the name of doing that, we have no standards and no boundaries and no like line in the sand of like, you don't cross this. And so people are literally getting hurt and now being murdered. Then another case was, again, I think a white guy who was a big defund the police supporter. And he was murdered by a homeless man, black homeless man in a major city. And because he was engaging and having this conversation with this guy and kept telling him, just chill, calm down. And the dude literally told him, I will kill you. And he did. He killed him right there with his girlfriend. I'm like, why didn't this guy learn and walk away? When someone is unstable, you have to view them as being unstable and not be afraid of being seen the wrong way. You know, like I'm not living up to my principles here by treating this person in a, you know, in a certain way because I believe Black Lives Matter or whatever it is, you know.
Or what, and again, we don't know the details of these stories, so we can't pass judgment specifically on these stories, but you can see this play out in principles where people in their naivete say, well, I'm not going to be prejudiced.
Right.
I'm not going to be racist. I'm not going to be rude or mean just because this person's homeless. And you could be dealing with somebody who's genuine psychosis.
Right.
A true murderer. And you're super naive to think, well, no, I'm not going to judge them and I'm not going to treat them poorly. I'm going to treat them like I would treat anyone else. And that's how you end up getting just
well, right,
totally
because again, that's this line that can be difficult for us to understand and not want to cross because I get it. You want to be compassionate. You want to be understanding. You want to be like, homeless people, they have a story. There's a reason why they are where they are. And I get all of that. But when it comes right down to your own personal safety or the safety of your family, you have to be able to draw a line and say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to interact with you in this way. I'm going to leave. I'm going to, you know, protect myself. There has to be a place where you just don't tolerate it anymore. And I'm afraid that, well, I'm not afraid. I can see that. I know that this emphasis, this growing emphasis on tolerance in all forms, is and you see it on the fringes because you're paying attention, because we are paying attention. You're seeing it on the fringes and you're saying, oh, well, it's on the fringe now. That's only going to grow because until the entire culture wars switch And all of this stuff stops happening of like, you know, fighting and each other, which is basically what's happening in America, is the left and the right are fighting and dividing. And, you know, until that ends, what's happening on the fringe is only going to grow and increase and become more common.
Already is. It's even happening in our schools.
Oh, absolutely.
Just insane violence and crimes and theft and that kind of crap. Let's be tolerant.
And not to even mention what's happening in stores like Target and REI, and what we just heard about in San Francisco, where people are literally, they park their car on the side of the street with the windows rolled down and the trunk open, because people are just going around smashing in windows and stealing stuff. They're mob stealing from stores like Target and Walmart. They go in because, you know, the law has been passed that, oh, if you steal less than $950,
you won't be prosecuted.
You won't be prosecuted. So what do thieves do? They go in as a group. They steal $950 each, and they can't prosecute anyone because what can you do? REI closed its flagship store in Seattle because they keep getting robbed. And so, and you know, we have friends that used to live in, they lived in Oregon and left because basically, in their words, the homeless people were taking over the town. Because people want to be loving and kind and accepting and say, oh, you have a story. But instead of finding them real help that would actually improve their lives, they just let them, you know, now take over the town.
Again, it's so detrimental and naive to remove boundaries just because you want to be tolerant and accepting, right, and helpful and understanding that people have stories.
Right.
So, yeah, this is, it's complicated.
It's very complex.
It's very complicated.
It's complicated, just like all the things that are happening in the world.
We have a personal example in our family that I still wrestle with psychologically. We have traveled through Mexico extensively. We've spent many, many months in Mexico and driven from the top to the bottom at least 3 times.
4 or 5 for you,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, we have just explored that whole country and have had so many wonderful experiences. One time, our family got mobbed. And that's
by a mob.
It was a mob in this Mexican town. There was no police down there because mob.
Well, when we finally found the police and we told them about it, they're like, oh, yeah.
We don't go there.
We don't go there.
The police don't
and
even go there.
And their answer to us, we had just been attacked, and their thing was like, yeah, tell your friends not to go there.
That was there. I'm like, well, what needs to be done? They're like, well, just tell your friends and family not to travel there. I mean, it's like this failed state.
Yeah.
And it was traumatizing for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was shaken up for 3 days. I was livid. And man, I wanted to get out and really, really put the hurt on some people. But we were just grossly outnumbered. They had weapons. They just smashed up our car. It was a horrible experience. That could so easily taint our perception of Mexico, mm-hmm, and Mexicans.
Yes.
Easily. And you still wrestle with it. And every time I think about Mexico or Mexicans, my survival brain goes, oh, remember that time? Oh, Mexico's dangerous. Mexicans are dangerous. And it brings that up. And so we have months and months and months and months of positive, wonderful experiences. And 30 minutes of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what wants to stand out. So I get why people, if they've had a background, even worse than that, we got out okay. We didn't lose any money. Nobody got hurt. Like, it could have been way, way worse. And I realize that people have experienced far, far worse. They've been maimed or murdered or lost family members.
Yeah, I mean,
and so naturally, they're going to have some genuine concerns, resentments,
anger, hatred,
feeling hatred,
and
all
that's
that.
Essentially what's happening with Israel and Palestine, you know? I mean,
that's been going on for
generations.
It's
been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah. Not thousands.
I know, but.
But, well, the history in that part of the world,
yeah,
in all parts of the world, honestly, is thousands,
right,
of years. So
it's
human history is what's going on. But today we just wanted to share some thoughts, some things we're thinking about and talking about. I hope it's been intriguing and maybe, you know, sparked some ideas for you, at least some conversations. But please, please know there are some deceptions going on, local and global. And there's a lot of con artists out there in the shape of governments and businesses and organizations and social platforms and agendas and activism Like, there's a lot of charlatans and con artists, and there are legitimate tyrants and dictators. They're trying to come to power. So we would be so naive and stupid to just roll along with our life and think, oh no, none of that's happening.
Not in our
day. It's not that bad. That's exactly, when you read all the books about World War II, the vast majority of people in Europe were thinking, oh no, I mean, yeah, we've heard about it and we hear it's crazy, but it's, there's no way it's that bad and it's not going to happen here. That's what they were assuming until they got invaded, until the SS kicked in their doors. They were literally saying the night before, it's not going to get that bad.
Well, yeah, which book was that? I'm trying to remember. Oh, it was The Gift by
Choice.
The Choice.
In The Choice, she tells that story.
And, you know, she was a Holocaust survivor, and she literally said that the night before
they had the chance to leave, and her parents
were talking,
like, oh,
and
it won't
they
be
had
that
a chance.
Bad.
Yeah, they had a chance to leave. Someone was like, come with us now. And of course, they didn't want to leave their home and give up everything they had and go start over. They didn't want to do that. And they said, oh, no, it can't be that bad. And the next morning, SS came.
Yeah.
Or was it that night?
Yep. While
took them sleeping, away, and
both her parents died.
She never saw her parents again.
Yep. And she survived Auschwitz. And just, oh, unbelievable suffering. That's such a great book. You should all read that book.
And, you know, it's not like we're saying, hey, watch out, the SS are going to come get you tomorrow. It's not necessarily that kind of thing that we're talking about, but the point is...
But it's that kind of evil we're talking about.
Yes. And that kind of serious...
Control. Sorry, I keep putting words in your mouth.
No, it's good. That kind of serious type of event that is...
Coming.
Looming on the horizon.
Absolutely.
And I know that this sounds terrible and horrific and... depressing and overwhelming, and yet there is no doubt in my mind that we've been talking about it for a while, at least a couple, 3 years or more, and it's getting worse.
Yep.
And getting bigger
now,
and it's not gonna get it's not gonna get
go
better
away
until it gets worse.
Yeah, it's not going away.
It's not going away.
So we keep sharing this just because we see things happening and we're like, hey, we should share this with people who maybe don't
care.
Have the luxury of seeing it. And maybe who, like, you haven't noticed. So we're like, hey, well, you guys, heads up.
Pay attention
to this. And maybe you live in a quiet little rural area where you won't be affected, and oh, bless you. Hallelujah. That's
right.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are living in areas or in situations where you're going to be affected much sooner than others. If all this being said, we are totally still going about our life and having a great time. We are enjoying our life. We're
absolutely
happy. We're chasing dreams and goals, building our businesses, raising our kids. We just got back from a bucket list weekend. We're still living while we're also noticing.
Well,
and
I think
preparing.
That's the point. I think that's the point, is because just because we are living our lives and we want to keep living our lives and we keep dreaming and planning, like, it's not like we're giving up on our future. We're definitely not doing that. But I feel that we're required to pay attention and to not just ignore these things because they're uncomfortable or distressing or, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blank. We can't just ignore it. We have to pay attention because at the very least, it's going to help us be more prepared for whatever it is. Like, maybe there comes a time when you have to speak up or stand up or, you know, something. But if you don't pay attention, you're going to be caught unawares, you know, and
that's always worse.
That's always worse.
It's always worse. So our invitation, because we're doing it, is everything you hear, everything you see, just pause before you just absorb it, before you drink the Kool-Aid and just go right in first level thinking. Just pause and say,
form an opinion.
Yeah, before you form a strong opinion, oh, I'm with them, or I'm with them. And change your little Facebook little
profile.
Like,
I stand.
Like, that is so retarded.
I know.
Like, what do you mean you stand? Are you willing to pack up right now and go over and actually help? Take down your stupid little profile and do
make
something.
Make you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah,
you're not.
So
you're not
retarded.
Doing anything.
Like, when you're willing to get on the ground and make a difference, okay, then do it and stop telling people, I stand with you. Oh, my. Don't get me going. Oh, it's just this form of like assuaging your desire to do
Well,
something by saying you're with them, and you don't even really understand what's going on except for
right.
what you've seen in the media that has a controlled narrative.
Exactly.
Oh man. Okay, but on beyond that, what we're saying is, see beyond the first level thinking and say what's behind the scenes here.
Why would they say that? Why would they do that? What's the real purpose or point or desired outcome?
And what are other media outlets around the world saying? What might the long-term effect of these on the surface, these up front, on the surface decisions, what might the long-term effect be? You're like, oh, that'll help. But then, whoa, down the road, actually, that will mean we've lost our freedoms. That's never a good exchange rate. So see past the facade. See past the little song and dance they're putting up front. Whether it's, oh, it's so bad, so bad, so bad, when maybe it's not. Or they're like, this is so good, so good, so good. You're like, yeah, it's actually, it's not. There's a whole lot of smoke and mirrors going on right now. I would, everywhere you turn, everywhere you turn, there's a whole lot of smoke and mirrors, a
Yeah, we
whole
haven't
lot of
even touched
deception.
on a whole other area, like there's whole areas we haven't even touched on yet.
And it's happening right now. We have front row seats to the craziness of history and another fourth turning, but a global one. Events that have never happened like this before because they couldn't, because of technology. And so it's happening right now under our noses. And we all need to be aware of it and pay attention and asking harder questions and looking beyond the surface. And it's always better. It's always better to understand more. It's always more uncomfortable too, but it's always better. So think about it, notice it, have discussions about it, read about it, like prepare yourself and keep living your life joyfully and wonderfully, but just pay
Well, and that's
attention.
why we do what we do. That's why we even have this podcast, is because ultimately we sincerely believe that the long-term solutions to the world's problems come from strong families, strong
Living great lives.
individuals, strong marriages, strong parents raising strong kids. That's how we're going to change the world. That's really how it's going to happen. It doesn't come, it's a grassroots thing. It doesn't come top down. It comes from the bottom up. And the bottom, in the best sort of way, the foundation is family. Well, it's the individual, strong individual, and then,
Creating a strong family.
creating a strong family. That is the answer. It really is. And so that's why it's here. That's why we're here.
So, ladies and gentlemen, create and maintain and sustain your extraordinary family life. Love you guys. Reach out for it. We'll be right back.